Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. Once again, it is time for Let's Talk About Jesus, our weekly Bible study right here on our website. If you're a return listener, we welcome you back. If you are, if you're a first time listener, you only get to be that one time. If you come back again, we consider you part of our listening family. That doesn't mean you're going to get a barrage of mail, or we don't have your address. We're not asking for it. We're not asking for any donations. If you would love to, we receive donations. That's how we get the work of God done. But we're not asking. We're not soliciting. There's no ulterior motive in us being on the internet, other than telling people about Jesus and encouraging those who have accepted Him as their Savior to keep their trust in Him, particularly in the days that we are living, called the last days or the end times. Those are prophetic terms of the days that we are living in. They're dark days. They are dangerous days. Perilous times are not coming. Perilous times are here. When I first became a Christian and heard about the teaching on eschatology, which means about the coming of the Lord and coming of the kingdom of God and Jesus coming for His church and coming back to rule and reign and set up His kingdom, all of those things were future events. And though it was a sinful time when I grew up, but nothing like it is now. There's nothing in my memory, and I'm 77 years old, and there's nothing in my memory in all of these years to compare with what we are seeing right now in terms of wickedness, deception, in terms of all of the dangerous situations all over the world. And there is no place to go and no place to hide from it. Friend of mine, everyone is experiencing this sense of foreboding and this future that looks very, very bleak. Men's hearts failing them for fear, looking at the things which are coming. These are not unfounded fears. These are not phobias. This is facing the reality of the last days. Everything that we have put our confidence in, our faith in, and our hope in is being and has been shaken. And it's that shaking that is creating this tidal wave of fear. Men's hearts fail them. Jesus said it would be a last day sign. It would escalate all the way into the tribulation period itself, the great tribulation. It'll come to its apex and climax during the tribulation because there's no place to go. There's nowhere to run to. But we can find consolation in the fact that God is with His people in these dangerous times. We're going to be talking about today in our Bible study, God with us. God with us. Now, I'm not talking about feeling here. I'm talking about fact. I'm not talking about appearances here. The circumstances we may find ourselves in and ask ourselves, where is God, or where was God in that circumstance? I'm telling you, the promise of God is that He is with us. And it's that hope and that we have of His promise kept to us that gives us the courage to face the same things the world around us is facing, but to know that we are not abandoned. We are not alone to face it, and God is keeping His promise, old and new covenant, to be with us no matter what we are facing today. I wrote down many years ago concerning this scripture I'm about to read, the most precious and the most powerful promise of God to His people is the promise of His presence with us. Look with me to Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. The psalmist says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art with me. And if I make my bed in hell, speaking of the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Praise God. I heard a song. I forget who did it, but it was such a touching song. And it's a simple song, but a great profound truth. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me tight. He's with me. Amen. He's not just for me. He is with me. Praise God. No matter what you're facing today, I want to tell you, God is there. No matter how distant God may seem, He is there. He does not sit aloof in His heaven. He did not leave His children alone on this earth. He is with us because of that great truth and fact. He is a right here, right now God. I want you to just say it with me. Amen. By faith in the fact, not in the feeling, in the fact declared by the Word of God. Amen. He is a right here, right now God. Let's do it together. I'm talking about if you're discouraged today. I'm talking about if you're feeling like falling into despair today and wondering, where is God in this situation? Where is God in this circumstance? I want you to say it by faith. Amen. In the fact of the presence of God with us. Now, I'm Pentecostal, and I talk about getting goose pimples on my goose pimples. I talk about putting on your shouting shoes when you sense the presence of God come upon you. And we're known for that. It's not just emotionalism. It causes us to emote, but it's not emotionalism. It's a consciousness of the Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you, the most spiritually sensitive, spiritually filled, spiritually baptized, Holy Ghost filled Pentecostal, when you go through some of the deep trials of life, you're probably, and you're, well, I'm going to just say, you're not going to feel the presence of God. When your emotions are completely raw, and what seems real to you is the circumstance, not the fact of His presence, and you can't find God, even when you seek Him and cry out for Him and you feel abandoned. The fact is, God is with us. And that's what the psalmist is declaring. Where can I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. He will hold me fast. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, no matter how deep the discouragement, nor how dark the night, God is there. He's not sitting aloof in His heaven, unconcerned and unapproachable. He's with us. And that's what Matthew chapter 1 in verse 23 says. More, you hear this just around Christmas. This is not something that is supposed to be meditated on just in a Christmas season because of a baby in a manger. But a man who went to a cross, died on that cross, rose the third day, ascended to heaven, sit down at the right hand of God, but promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Glory to God. And He keeps that promise through the Holy Spirit. Jesus actually said, I will not leave you comfortless. And the Greek word for that is orphanos, an orphan. But I will give you another comforter, which means another just like myself, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And He will be with you, and He will be in you, and He will abide with you forever. Praise God. So let's read this Christian scripture, not just this Christmas scripture. Matthew 1, verse 23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, come on, say it with me, church. Come on, God with us. And this Jesus who showed us the Father, who manifests the will and purpose of God to us, amen, promised to never leave us and never forsake us. He promised to go with us all the way, even unto the end of the age. And because Jesus was God united with man, very God and very man, He showed that God was dwelling with man. God with us. David looks up to the heavens. David looks down to the earth. David looks east, speaks of the wings of the morning, and David looks west toward the Mediterranean Sea. No matter where David could imagine being, he could not imagine being there without God's presence. Hallelujah. David had great consolation that no matter where life's road took him, God was there. He was never beyond God's reach, God's grasp. Even there, thy right hand shall lead me, and you will hold me. Glory to God. Even there, thy right hand shall hold me. Friend of mine, God is there when you're discouraged. Judges 6, 11 through 13 in the Old Covenant. It said, And there came the angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash and Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. They in order to even have any food, because the Midianites were oppressing them, they had to sneak around at night. They had to sulk around at night. And they were deeply discouraged. We've got a covenant with God. We're being oppressed by the enemy. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. This guy sulking around, this guy hiding from the enemy, just trying to get a little wheat to make a little, to have some, a meal of some kind, a coarse meal by using that wheat. Friend of mine, listen, I would love if an angel came to me to tell me the Lord is with thee, and I saw this angel and I heard his audible voice and he calls me a man of valor. I think if I was in a deep valley, I think it would make me perk up more to get up and stand up. How about you? But we've got something that is more permanent to anchor our faith in than an angel telling it to us personally. We have God's own word on it. Not the angel of the Lord, but the Lord Himself. For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Literally, in the Greek, it means it's God-breathed. Listen, God made man in His image, and God made a man out of clay and called him Adam, which means from clay. But he was inanimate. He had no spirit. He had no eternal part of him, no spiritual part of him, no soul, no consciousness, until God did something. He breathed into him, and he became a living soul because God breathed spirit unto him. You know what Jesus said about the word that we read when we open our Bible, where we get these facts, where we get these promises from God? Amen. Hallelujah. This is God-breathed stuff. And Jesus said, The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Glory to God. And what do we need today? Amen. We need spiritual life granted to us through the Word of God. Hallelujah. And when the Word comes alive in us, faith comes alive in us, hope comes alive in us, peace comes alive in us. Praise God. So the angel of the Lord appeared. We have the Word of God. We have, listen, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is more authoritative than the angel of the Lord, because it's God's own word. It's direct from God. The angel was direct from God, but the angel holds no more authority than the Scripture. Amen. No, the angel, listen, if an angel comes and it violates Scripture, we're to tell the angel to take a hike. Seriously, we're to judge angels. That's why the Bible said as Christians we shouldn't take each other to law. We should, don't you know you're going to judge angels? And that's not in the millennial reign of Christ alone. We need to judge angels now. If an angel come with another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be under the most harsh judgments of God for coming and trying to mislead God's people. Amen. Even if an angel come, and for no marvel if Satan himself be manifest as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. So I'm telling you, the Word of God holds more authority than an angel. And it may be an angel of the Lord, and you won't know till he opens his mouth. But when he does, if it coincides with the Word of God, if it doesn't contradict the Word of God, then we're to receive it. But I'm telling you, you need to anchor your faith not in an angel coming to you, not in some kind of goose pimple feeling one way or the other, but in the fact of the Word of God, because heaven and earth will pass away. Man will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. A new heaven and a new earth is coming. But I'm telling you what won't pass away and what is eternal is God Himself. And that's His eternal, inerrant Word. Glory be to God. That's why we have this anchor, you see, that is sure and steadfast for the soul, that reaches into that is behind the veil, the very person and the very presence of God Himself. Hallelujah. We got God's Word on it. Praise the Lord. Amen. So listen, here we got an angel here. He tells him the Lord is with him, tells him this sulking man, this depressed man, this discouraged man, that God is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? First thing that we're going to ask God to, if God is with me, why am I going through this? If God is with me, why is all this happening? Why did He allow it to happen? Come on, let's get real today. Let's get honest today. And where are all His miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now, this is how he felt. So he's being honest. And now, the Lord hath forsaken us. He felt forsaken of God. That's a feeling that's going to come. I'm telling you, that's not a fact. Listen, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go, and he said it through the angel of the Lord. Listen, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? You see, when God sends us, he promises to go with us. And it's the fact that he is with us that gives us courage. We were changed from cowards to courageous spiritual warriors. Praise God. Amen. We quit cowering in fear and we start courageously standing in faith. It appeared that God had forsaken Israel. He had not. His message to restore courage was simple and it was singular. The Lord is with thee. and he called him. Not what he wasn't, but what he was going to be if he took hold of this. Thou mighty man of valor. Which means, in the Hebrew, valor means strength, might, force, and efficiency. Once again, the realization that even occupied by the Midianites, amen, God's people were not forsaken. Even there, God was ready, willing, able, and did in fact deliver them. Glory to God. It appeared that he wasn't with them, but in fact, he was with them, and he gave them the victory that he promised them because of his presence with them. I like Psalm 46. It applies to so many emergency crisis situations. And it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present. Literally in the Greek, it would read, it would read, He is ever present. See, it's God with us. It's God with us. Not just for us, but expressing the fact that He's for us by being with us every step of the way through our life. Jesus put it this way, and lo, I am with you. I want you to see this, in other words, I am with you always, when you feel it and when you don't, when you sense it and when you don't. If you keep your trust in me, I'll show you that I'm with you by taking you through that valley, taking you through that trial, being three Hebrew children. They're in the fire, right? They're in the fire that was so hot that it consumed the people who threw them in. The blast of that furnace getting that close to throw them in killed the people that threw them in. And yet there was somebody in the fire. It's too late, isn't it? I mean, they'll just be burnt to a crisp before you can blink your eye. And yet there's somebody in there, in the fire, in the furnace, in the flames, and not being consumed. And suddenly they're not being consumed because even there, hallelujah, you're about to get me to preach. I'm supposed to teach a little message today. This is not a little message, and this shouldn't be brought forth in monotone. This is something, amen, that God wants us to sink our teeth into spiritually and get a hold of. Even there, thy right hand shall hold me, and thou shalt lead me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the king watching this thing, amen, he said, didn't we throw three men into the fire? And yet I see four, and one of them is distinguished because he's shining brighter than the flames of the fire. Glory to God. Some people call this an epiphany, there's another word for that, and I don't have time to figure it out because our time is running out. But they believe, many scholars believe, Messianic Jewish scholars and other scholars believe, that this was an Old Testament manifestation of Jesus Christ. That fourth man in their fire with them is the man that is with us when we go through the fiery trials. Amen. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, don't mistake this great fact, because we can't help but go through fiery trials. But we can accept the fact by faith there is a fourth man with us. I love that old song. We used to sing it at church when I first got saved decades ago. I have somebody with me. I have somebody with me. When trouble overtakes me on life's weary road, and be sure it will, I have somebody with me all the way. How many know who that somebody is? That somebody is the true and the living God, Jehovah, and that true and living God is also our Savior and Sovereign, Jesus Christ. And he echoed God's personal promise to never leave or forsake his people and said, I will never, no, never, ever, 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 ever leave you nor forsake you. Yes, it is a continuous never. It's not just an abruptly ended never. It's a never, ever, ever, ever. It echoes into eternity. There's no place you can go where God is not with you, keeping his promise to be there. And when you get ready to go home, he's going to be there. Hallelujah. And when you go through the fiery trial, he's not going to be standing in the shadows. Good sentimental little song. He's not going to be in the shadows. He's just right here, right now, God. And right where you are right now, God is for you if you're a Christian, and God is with you. And if you're listening to this broadcast today and you're not a Christian, God is there by the Holy Spirit, amen, to draw you to himself for salvation. God is there in the gutter. God is there in the jail. God is there in the hospital. God is there in the ER. God is there. God is there in your circumstance. God is there in your hurt. God is there in your pain. And he's bidding you come to him. Come to him. Come and be saved. Come and let God embrace you and keep his promise to you and never ever feel abandoned or alone again throughout all eternity. Because God, as long as we're here as Christians, God is with us. And when he comes for us, we're going to be with him forever and forever, age without end. He's going to take us through these perilous end times. Come and go with us. Come and go with us to heaven. Come and go with us and follow Jesus. Come. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And let him forgive your sin. Let him save your soul. Come to Jesus. Repent of your sin. Run to Jesus and find a peace that only he can give you today. Amen. God loves you so much today that he would give his only begotten Son, that if you would just believe on him, you would not perish, but that you would have, and I would have, everlasting life. Oh, friend, not only in the hereafter, but in the right here, and in the right now, that life will begin. And one of the great benefits of that life that he grants us, amen, is the promise of his presence to go with us all the way, even to the end of the age. Oh, friend, there's no sin, there's no person, there's no place that can offer you this kind of refuge. That's why Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge. God is our strength, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. I know in the King James it says it a little differently, but this is the practical meaning of it. We will not fear, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea, though the oceans roar, all of this tumult, all of this crisis, all this earthquake shaking that shakes mountains to the sea. And yet, he said, I'm in a safe place because a person is ever present with me. I'm not afraid. I'm not intimidated. I don't live a life of dread in what may come. Because no matter what may come, God is with me. Come to Jesus so God can be with you today. In Jesus' holy name, I pray.